Open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Raise your hand if you went out Black Friday shopping, whether on Thursday or Friday. Who went out? I'm not raising my hand because I didn't go out. All right. What was the things you couldn't do without? You said, I got to brave the madness and the crowds. What are some things you were looking for? Go ahead and shout them out. What were you looking for? Paintball gun, huh? What else? Dog beds. Dog beds, nice. All right, anything else we're looking for? Diapers. All right. We're out looking for a lot of different things. I know my wife was looking for different things. My daughters had different things they had their eyes on, and a lot of people made their way on out there. And I'm not one who, I don't like to go to the store anyway. I definitely don't want to brave the crowds out on Thursday or Friday. Even Saturday, I kind of stayed away. Just not somewhere I want to be. Get inside those crowds and you got people pushing and shoving and everything else, and I might not respond in newness of life. So it's just best to set up that safeguard so I'm not tempted like we talked about. But let's look in Ephesians chapter number 2 here. Begin reading in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul wrote and said, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." And so Paul very clearly tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sin before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Of course, we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ that has given us life. We've looked at John chapter 10 and verse number 10, where it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 20, 31, Jesus said, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And so we have been given life. We're expected to live a certain way. And yet many times we live as though we're still dead. We live like spiritual zombies with the stink of sin and death all over us. And that's where we get to Colossians chapter number 3 in our text for this series. Beginning in verse number 1, it says, "If," and we've noted throughout this series that word "if" means since. He's not questioning whether or not they have been, but he's saying, "Since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Mortify, that means to put to death. And so he's going to tell us what we are put to death in our lives. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth." So here they are. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. "For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." And over the last couple of weeks, we spent some time looking at the fact that we need to put to death immorality in our lives. It's not to have a place in the heart and life of a Christian any longer. And when we choose to live an immoral life, we are carrying around the stink of that sin and that death on us. We walk around like spiritual zombies living in immorality. He says that's not the way a Christian is supposed to live. You're not to live in death. You're to live in life. You're to walk in purity and in honesty and in truthfulness. And so he says, put to death immorality. Last week we looked at the fact that we're supposed to put to death lusts within us. We're not to allow our desires to control who we are, whether that's immoral desires or whether that's something else. And we talked about food and other things. If a physical desire controls us, then we're living like we're still dead. Because it is the lost person who lives controlled by their own desires, controlled by their own flesh. And we looked at Galatians, how that our flesh and the spirit are at war with one another. We can't live in the flesh and live in the spirit at the same time. They're contrary the one to the other, so we cannot do the things that we would do. And so we need to put to death the passions and lust of this life, and we need to walk in the spirit. And we're reminded that when we put our affections on God and we trust and live for Him, then He will give us the desires of our heart. That is, He'll give us the right desires that we're supposed to have. It's not that God is going to kind of grant our Christmas list, and I make my list of everything that I want, and God's going to give it to me. No, He's going to give me the very things that I ought to desire, so that His desires become my desires. And here this morning, we're going to spend some time looking at the fact that we need to mortify covetousness in verse number 5. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word tells us the truth about our sin, tells us the truth about salvation, that it's only possible by the Lord Jesus Christ and through Him, that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. God, if there's somebody without Jesus Christ as their Savior this morning, I pray that You'd work in their hearts, that they would trust You. And Christians, I pray that You challenge each and every one of us. Lord, may the Spirit of God use Your Word as a lamp and a light and illuminate our hearts this morning. And Lord, if there's sin in us, if we're carrying around that death and living like a spiritual zombie, I pray that we would put to death those things in our lives today. That we would walk the way that You expect us to walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here he tells us we're to put to death, verse number 5, mortify covetousness in our hearts and our lives. The Bible tells us, just as we looked at these other two things, that it is the lost who allow covetousness to control their lives. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 19, in describing the unsaved, it says, "...who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." That's the same word for covetousness that we see in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5, that word greediness. Romans 1:29, talking about the people that have rejected God, have turned their back on Him and have denied the truth. It says in verse number 29 there of Romans chapter number 1, says, "...being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers." But you notice right there in the middle of that, it says covetousness. But Christians are to be different. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5 with me, over just a couple of pages. Ephesians chapter number 5. We looked at this verse when we talked about immorality, but I want to see it here again as we talk about covetousness. Notice what it says. It says, verse 3, "...but fornication and all uncleanness," or what's the word, church? All right, let's say it one more time a little louder. "...but fornication and all uncleanness," or? Covetousness. "...let it not be," how many times? "...once named among you as becometh saints." You know, we tend to look at things like immorality, and we can look and see how adultery, and we can look and see how pornography and premarital sex and all of that stuff. And we can look at it and say, yeah, it's pretty apparent that should not be once named among a Christian. It's not that hard for my mind to reason that out. But we find right here, along with immorality, he says covetousness, not once named among you as Christians. You and I are to live a different way. We're not to live like the lost, just wanting and wanting and wanting and greedy for gain and all those things. We are to be different. That word covetousness is the idea of greedy desire to have more. Paul defines covetousness as idolatry here in Colossians chapter number 3. Notice what it says in verse number 5 as he's talking about mortifying, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. And notice the description here, which is idolatry. That's the way the Apostle Paul defines covetousness. He says it's idolatry. When you boil it all down, when we're guilty of covetousness, we have established this thing, we've established this house, this car, this person, this relationship, this position, title, whatever. We have exalted that to the place of a God in our hearts and our lives. And that is the thing that drives us, and that is the thing that gets our focus and our attention, and we're putting all of our energy, all of our focus in attaining this thing, person, title, whatever. Paul says if you want to boil it all down to what covetousness is, it's idolatry. You're reminded in Exodus chapter number 20, as the Ten Commandments are given out, look at verse number 17, it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And the bottom line is when we covet something, we make a god out of it. We covet our neighbor's house, we make a god out of their house, and I want the house that they have. We make a god out of their wife, I want his wife. If only my wife were like that, if only my husband were like that person. And we make a god out of that. He talks about manservant, maidservants, ox, ass, anything that is in your neighbor's, we're not to covet it. And yet we do that so often. So guilty of that as Americans. Look with me back at Luke chapter number 12. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this matter of covetousness. Luke chapter number 12. We're going to look at a little bit of scripture here. I'm just going to start off by just pointing out verse number 15. As Jesus is talking, tells us that he said unto them in verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. And so Jesus told his followers, you need to be on guard. You need to be aware. You know, one of the things that we do is we go to visit people in their homes and other things, and somebody comes to visit the church, we try to go out and visit them, and in, you know, making different visits, whether we're knocking on doors or going to see somebody we know, there's a sign I'm always looking for, somebody's house. Beware of dogs. I don't like big dogs. I don't want nothing to do with a big dog. I've had more than my fair share of run-ins with them, and I'm not afraid to sacrifice anyone or anything to make sure that I'm safe from that dog. My wife has felt the wrath of that more than once. Beware! Why? Because there's something dangerous. There's something that can harm us. We see those signs all over. And Jesus says, you need to take heed and beware of covetousness. Why? Because it's something that can hurt you. It's something that can harm you, and ultimately it can destroy your life. He says, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And I find it so ironic the way that this past weekend kind of falls. You know, we celebrate Thanksgiving. where we stop and remember the blessings of the Lord, and we're supposed to give thanks for all the things that He has done for us, all the things that He has bestowed upon us, because we know that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. That everything that I have comes from God, and I need to stop and give thanks for it. And we ought to take time to do that. And here we have, used to be one day later, now it's not even one day later. You finish your Thanksgiving meal and you go right out shopping. I think of Black Friday as the coveter's holiday. Now, I'm not saying that if you did Black Friday shopping, you're coveting. That's not what I'm saying. But you see what goes on a lot of times on Black Friday in the shopping, and just the craze and the madness for stuff and for things. My daughter felt the wrath of a Black Friday shopper. She was going to get a marker set or something they had on sale, and this lady was all in a hurry and everything else, and grabbed a box, hit my daughter in the face, and cut her face open. She's got a big scratch on her face. I told her, man, it's lucky I wasn't there. I'm telling you, I cannot go anywhere near Black Friday shopping. Got some big mark all over her face, didn't say I'm sorry, didn't acknowledge it, grabbed whatever it was, hit her in the face, and just kept right on going. You know, we've all seen the videos. People getting trampled literally to death. The fights that break out and everything else. Over what? Over a TV. Over a computer. Over this. Over that. And here he tells us and says, you need to be careful. Because our lives don't consist of the abundance of the things that we possess. Unfortunately, for many people, that's how they define their lives. That's how they define happiness. That's how they define prestige and all of that and success, is by how many things that they have. He says we need to beware of that. And we don't want to be guilty of going to the other extreme as well, as saying people that have things are coveters. People that have things aren't right with God. That's not what we're saying either. But we need to be mindful of this thing of covetousness. He continues on and he gives us a parable here. Gives us something to stop and to think about to prove the point that he's saying. Verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And I've encouraged you to pay attention to every word. Nothing's just kind of thrown in there arbitrarily. I've circled the word ground in verse number 16. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And as we know, there's only one person who controls the ground and what it produces. That's God. So if something grows, it's because God wanted it to grow. If it doesn't grow, it's because God didn't want it to grow. But it's not that this rich man did something to make the ground produce. God is the one. And he lost sight of that. And we often lose sight of that as well. We think, well, no, I'm the one who worked. I'm the one who did it. No, it's God. God gave you the back to be able to work. God gave you the mind to be able to do that job that you have. The ability and everything else. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And so God had blessed this man. But notice what he thinks, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And so he's got this idea and philosophy that's all about himself. It's all about obtaining more and more and more. And it's not that this man was just being frugal and he wanted to make sure that he had enough for his old age. That's not what he's doing here. I believe we ought to plan and we ought to prepare for retirement and all those sorts of things. The Lord wants us to be good stewards of what He has given to us. I mean, just look at the life of Joseph and that circumstance in Egypt to see how God wants us to live and plan and be wise and all those things. This is not what He's doing here. He's already done that. He already has the barns and He's already got things to store. But He says, you know what? I want more. I want to continue to amass, continue to build up, continue to have more. You see, it's never satisfied with what it has. Covetousness always wants more. We're told as Christians we need to learn to be content. The Bible tells us having food and raiment, we're to be content. Just with food and clothes. If you have food and clothes, he said you ought to be content with just that. He doesn't even include one of the basic things that we think of as shelter. I mean, Jesus didn't have shelter. He said, I don't have a place to even lay my head at night. He said, we need to learn to be content. But you know what? We're not content. Especially as Americans. We're not content. I mean, it is bred within us from the time that we're small children, the American dream. We've got to have more, and we've got to have bigger, and we've got to have better. I mean, you go to some of these other countries around the world where they have nothing, where they're literally thankful to find food in the trash that people have thrown away so that they can have something to eat. It'll change the way that you think. Here, it's all about gaining more. And this is his heart and his desire. It's not to make sure his family is provided for. It's not so that he can make sure that as he gets into his later years in life that he has what he needs. No, it's all about just amassing more and more and more. No thought for anyone else except for himself. Look at verse 20. But God said unto him. See, he had one idea. God had another idea. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? See, he thought, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to build up and amass more and more and more. And God said, that's foolish. You're dying tonight. And what we know is true from Scripture, you can't take it with you. You can live your life for all the things of here and now. Once you're dead and gone, it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to help you one bit as far as eternity is concerned. And whoever's left behind is left to fight for whatever it is that you've amassed. And I've seen it time and time again. People die and their children just fight and fight and fight over what's left. Whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. And families are torn up and destroyed over things. Over money. Over possessions. Instead of you're a fool. And notice what he says, verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He said, you're a fool as well, and I'm a fool. When we live our life for the abundance of the things that we can possess, he says, you're a fool. But you and I are to live differently. He said, we're not to live for the here and now. And as he continues on to talk to them, he tells them not to be so concerned with the possessions and the things of the here and now. And finally, he gets down to verse number 31, where he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We know Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33 very well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, as a Christian, as a follower, as a disciple of his, there's to be a different type of mindset. We need to put to death covetousness. And I think that as Americans, it's one of the things that we ought to be aware of and focus on is putting to death covetousness in our lives. We're to live a different way. Rather than living for the here and now, we're to live for that day, as Kayla talked about. We're going to see Jesus face to face. We're going to go to be with Him. We're going to give an account for our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to stand before Him and say, you know what, I live my life for then and there. I lived my life, and it was a waste because it was all about the abundance of things that I could possess. And He says, you need to seek the kingdom of God. In Colossians that we've been looking at for the last 3 weeks, He begins, and we've read those verses, and I want you to look at them again. He says, since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And he tells us, as somebody who's been given life, our heart and our focus and attention is not to be in the here and now. That should be our main focus and our main drive. It ought to be a little higher than that. He said we're to set our affections on things above. We're to seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, not on the things of this earth. See, we're not to be consumed with the things of this world. We're to set our affection on the kingdom of God. Because this home and this life is temporary. It's fleeting, and it's but for a moment. I mean, we looked at Psalm chapter 103 on Tuesday, both in our Caleb Club and in our thankfulness service, and noted that we're like the grass. God looks down at humanity, and he sees us like the grass. We're here for just a little time. It doesn't take much to scorch and burn the grass, and it's done and gone. Our lives are like a vapor. We're here for just this little moment, and then it vanisheth away. Man, every year that goes by goes faster and faster and faster. We're just a few days away from December, and 2017 is going to be over. What have we done with what God has given to us? Have we spent the last year just trying to amass more and more and more? Or we have invested our hearts and our lives and our things that God has blessed us with in the kingdom of God and in his service? He said we're to put to death the immorality, put to death the lust, put to death the covetousness, this idolatry of things, and instead we're to seek him and his kingdom, to live our lives for him. There's coming a day, just as that parable that he gave of the talents. As he gave his servants talents and said, I want you to occupy till I come. And they were responsible to serve him, to use what he had given to them to bring honor and glory and production to his kingdom. The day came back where that Lord, he came, he returned. And he called all those servants together and said, hey, what did you do with what I gave you? And they had an answer for it. The day's coming where we're going to answer. God's given us all time to use for his honor and his glory. What have we done with the time that he's given to us? He's given us all talents, abilities. We've witnessed here this morning different people using their talents and honor, whether it's teaching, whether it's singing, playing, you know, mercy and all this, these things that the Bible talks about. People using their talents to serve him. We're going to give an account. What have we done with it? The treasures that God has given to us. God has given all of us things. Houses and cars and money. Different levels and everything else. And God meets it out as he sees fit. He's blessed all of us with material things. What is the way that we view those material things? Is it I've got to have more and I've got to have bigger and I've got to have better? Or is it, this is what God's blessed me with, and I want to use it for his honor and his glory, because there's coming a day where I'm going to give an answer for how I've used the treasures that he's given to me. I'm going to stand and answer for how I've used the house God's given me right across the street. Did I use it for his honor, his glory, and his service? The car, the money, whatever else. He said, you need to beware of this thing called covetousness. Why? Because it can ruin, it can destroy. We're to put to death covetousness. And we're supposed to live a different way as a steward of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not live our lives like some sort of spiritual zombie, walking around with the death of sin all over us. Let's walk in newness of life. We've been risen with Christ. We need to seek those things that are above.